Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Ryan Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And a little lonely in the studio today, but we'll tell you about that in just a moment. So what happened this week in your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more? Well, Bitcoin has its best week in, well, weeks, as crypto rallies on news foreshadowing Wall Street adoption. MasterCard announced that it had patented a means to speed up transactions in cryptocurrencies through existing systems for fiat currencies. We'll dissect that, all that wordy stuff, in a minute. IBM is partnering with Stronghold Prime Trust and Stellar to launch an FDIC, that's right, FDIC-insured U.S. stablecoin. And Stellar also becomes the first digital ledger technology protocol to obtain Sharia certification for payments and asset tokenization, excuse me. And I know you're probably going, oh, yeah, big deal, Sharia. Well, actually, it really is a big deal. And helping us break all that down today and keeping me company in the studio, at least, is... And, of course, it is Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, immensely followed TradingView columnist and more than that. But
and good-looking guy, too. Don't forget that.
Actually, I was going to go engineer, but you can be sure and let me know if anything I forget today.
They call me the chick magnet on the streets. You know, that's what the word
well,
is.
Well, your magnetism didn't work out too much today. The crypto sisters are not here.
I know. It's a whole different view in here. I just see a pink mic. That's it.
Well, that's right. We have to recolor code the audio board here because that's designated our red mic, and now it's, well, it's sort of pink or purple or...
Yeah. It's lonely over there.
Yes, it is. Well, Caro had already said that she had other commitments, but then she came down with something, too. So she's got a double reason why she's not here. Science fiction romance novelist Sabine Priestley is probably working undercover somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Augie is in Illinois. And, of course, Lenart and Lee and all the rest are... out doing their thing. But at 12:45, we have John Sacco, Sacco Consulting out of Tallahassee, and he'll be telling us what's going on with consulting in that space and more.
Let me just tell you how organized Cara is. She sent me all of her notes this morning for the show. I was blown away. I'm like, here's all the notes for the show, Andy. I'm like, oh wow, okay. I don't even do notes for the show. She's doing my notes for the show.
You don't even read my notes for the show.
You know, I briefly go over them, you know, but, yeah.
But at least we have the...
And we have the on board.
And I checked the new phone lines. The new phone lines are working.
There
so
we go.
Our guest is coming at 12:45. But find out. Help us know if the incoming phone line works. The outgoing works today. 941-745-1490. Perennial. The existential. The all-time phone number here for... WWPR, 941-745-1490. And actually, Big Ed Edwards was in when I came in. Was there anybody in the area out there? You would notice him if you saw him.
No, I didn't see anyone. No, I saw the mailman.
Yeah, well, no, that's not Big Ed. But Big Ed has been delivering with improvements around here.
Looks like it. It's starting to look like a radio station.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to. I'm going to go ahead and say it, but... Charlie Shrem, who we had a few weeks ago, and it was a very popular show, Crypto IQ down in Sarasota, he wants to come into studio.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we got a... I mean, I'm pretty sure he's never seen any radio studio like this radio studio.
No. It's not WKRP in Cincinnati, that's for sure.
There's no Lonnie Anderson. No Crypto Sisters, no Lonnie Anderson. Where Lonnie Anderson sat, if you can even remember that show,
oh yeah,
is where Big Ed Edwards would sit. And there is no mistaking the two. But I don't want to digress down the whole cassette tape thing that we did last week, although I thought that spread out pretty long. But then when I actually did the show, and you could find the podcast on the podcast of your choice pretty much, Podomatic, iTunes, working on getting on Google Play,
and
Spotify.
And it's also on Seeking Cryptos.
Oh, Is it up there now?
Absolutely. Go right to the podcast.
By the way, man, you started that premium service, so I got the premium subscription. Now, is it still in the free trial, or are they got to cough up yet?
Well, if you sign up, you get 7-day free trial to try it out.
And you can hook your phone up, too? I mean, not hook your phone up, but you can give your text message.
Absolutely. If you're an expert trade signal, you get it via SMS text message.
And then you've also at SeekingCryptos.com, you're actually posting trades you recommend or trades you make or trades you recommend and you make?
We actually take all the trades that we recommend. It's not just throwing trades out there.
So if you tell me I should be doing something,
absolutely,
your money's on the line, too.
Yeah. If you don't have skin in the game, don't follow a guy without skin in the game. That's why, you don't see a bunch of posts.
But you don't have to see all of his skin in the game.
Yeah, no, hey, that's for the swimsuit edition of the calendar.
That's the ultra platinum premium. Right now, is it the gold bug premium at the moment?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the gold bug premium. You get the free calendar. Nobody's requested one yet.
So, podcast, check the podcast platform or your choice is probably there. But Podomatic.com is the where it goes up first and where the biggest archive is. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. Just Google Henry Raine Show. You can even Google your Twitter handle is the real Goldbug one.
That's correct.
So don't be confused on that one. But pretty much even Augie, when he's here, and even when he's not here, he still has a Twitter handle. He's out there, but he's a little bit of a curmudgeon-y on the Twitter side. Be careful. Follow him, but, just be forewarned. Kara, Sabine, and all those guys are out there.
Absolutely.
And meetups, we're just cleaning up a little housekeeping here. Still on hiatus, but we are trying to put together some kind of special meetup combining the Brayton and Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup, the Sarasota Bitcoin meetup, the Brayton Blockchain Business Development meetup into one special event to round out the summer, and then after Labor Day, we'll get everything back on.
That's a lot of meetups for this small little town of 10,000.
It's a lot of meetups for me to keep track of and organize. But I think to be bluntly honest, we are always honest, but sometimes we are bluntly honest.
Yeah. Not politically correct.
Pardon me?
We stay away from being politically correct here.
I do have a clip from Steve Bannon's interview related to the show, and also some of his other stuff on it. I would recommend, no matter what your political views are, if you just want to hear a fascinating interview, and you can disagree or you can agree.
That's what it's about.
But it's probably as bluntly honest a political interview you're going to get.
You don't get those from politicians.
If you just Google CNBC Steve Bannon interview, I may even try and put that up on our Facebook page if I can remember more than 2 hours from now. Which I can't even remember where I was at the moment. Yeah. Oh, I remember. blunt interview there.
Something about the Bitcoin Beach meetup or something.
There is a part of there that I don't have the audio isolated for where he talks about, everybody says, well, we're in conflict with China. We're in a trade war with China. We're at war with China. We're just competitors with China. Whatever you say. But very seldom will someone say in a global strategy, this is our specific goal. So, we're not going to go politics today.
But we're going.
And
we got the left and the right in one group.
If you go back into the late 90s, and there was...
some fuzzy days. Anyway,
yeah.
But okay.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, Mika Brzezinski's dad, now deceased, wrote a book about, I think it was called The Great Game or something like that. And so, for people that maybe even weren't born then, but that can remember it, the late 90s was a relatively peaceful time in the world. The Soviet Union had collapsed. America was on a resurgence. It was the dominant global power. China was still, 20 years ago economically. And there was many people that projected a new American century that wanted to assert American dominance around the world. Well, one of the things that they would say is you have to control Central Asia. And we had no troops in Central Asia. Well, now we got troops in Central Asia. So I won't go into all the political ramifications of that. But you have to go read the book. You would have to actually put some effort and search it out. There's some other things I could give a lecture on, but I'm not going to do that now. Well, Steve Bannon says, we've been in a war with China. There's three kinds of wars. There's informational war, there's economic war, and there's kinetic, which is actual bullets and bombs. And he says, we've been in the economic war for 25 years. And again, I'm not saying he's right, he's wrong, but he does say it convincingly. I guess I just sort of said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's right.
I maybe tipped the scales a little bit on that one.
That's good for you, though.
Well, no,
hey, when you're right, you're right. You're open to alternate opinions
there's two
ideas.
Ways to look at the United States of America and the world, and really going through history. Either you are
an American or not.
An empire,
okay.
Or you're not an empire, and you're defending against an empire, or you're trying to just be independent. You know, for most of its history, America was isolated by two oceans. I'm sure the Native Americans felt a little encroachment of an empire, but for the most part, the global powers of that time were distanced from us. There was around the age of Theodore Roosevelt, that was when many people started talking about the American Empire and the Manifest Destiny. How did I get into this?
I don't know. We're 15 minutes into it, and we're on the Manifest Destiny. I don't know.
All right. Well, we might as well run with it. I mean, it's just us today. We don't have to see Sabine or Augie rolling our eyes at us. And Kara would smile.
She just smiles. What a beautiful smile she's got. Yeah.
No favorites here.
No,
she doesn't like it.
When she hits that microphone, her whole voice just smiles up.
And this will, and I guarantee you, people, this is going to come back around to blockchain and crypto. So anyway, Manifest Destiny was beyond the U.S. In the minds of Theodore Roosevelt and the elites of America at that time. And then with World War II, we were definitely we took over the British Empire, became the American Empire. So there was this group of people, and like human nature in the 1990s, that said that we are the dominant power, we want it all. And our strategic doctrine actually happened in 2001, and the new administration there, they rewrote the strategic doctrine. And this is like what I mean. Like some people, you know what they want, but they're not going to say it out loud because it isn't beneficial to say it out loud. But they changed the strategic doctrine to say, we will allow no power to rise against us. That pretty much says it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, I'm not going to go into all the last decade of history and a half. In this interview, if you go to CNBC, Steve Bannon, video interview, whatever you want to Google, he says, we've been in an economic war with China. I know the tariffs. I heard about that stuff.
Yeah.
He goes, our goal is to control the industrial supply chain of Asia, the Pacific Rim, Europe, I don't know if he says Latin American explicitly, but that sort of
probably
comes with a pair.
Yeah.
Basically, every place except China and Russia. And he probably likes Russia, too. But it's just a fascinating interview. But if you're going to control the supply chain of basically three-quarters of the world, what technology do you have to control? Blockchain.
Well, there you go.
So, and I don't want to put anybody's politics into this, and this wasn't a political discussion, so don't project it on Connect Bradenton. Connect Bradenton hosts a lot of events for Port Manatee, and we'll be back at Connect Bradenton.
Are we as big as Houston yet? Port of Houston?
We're probably going to, I don't know about that, but, you know, we're the only port in Florida that really has room to expand with the increased traffic from the Panama Canal. You know, you're going to get me to digress again. So let me just finish this. Anyway, Port Manatee. He goes, when I go, because Connect Bradenton, along with cooperating with our meetups, wants to help become an incubator for blockchain technology in the Manatee-Sarasota region. Well, when he goes to Port Manatee, he goes, they know all about blockchain. But when they talk blockchain, they talk supply chain.
Yeah.
And so if you really think about it, the blockchain technology will be the underpinnings of the supply chain. Now, I'm throwing the whole rundown out of the script now, but we've got time. We're tight around here. We can turn on a dime, and often do. So you follow IBM very carefully.
Yes.
They had earnings this week.
Did pretty well.
And tell us about IBM and what you see in their strategy business model.
Well, I mean, they had a strategic initiatives business model, and that has actually shown good growth, and they've shown growth in their hardware division, too, with their new ZR, I think it's ZR or ZX1 mainframe. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize IBM, they handle 85% of the credit card transactions around the world. So if you're looking at, you know, with the Stellar Lumens and you're looking at all that, it all integrates together into, you know, being a, you know, a large money transfer thing. And that is the future with supply chain, because they're now working with Walmart to increase their supply chain in that. And another interesting one with Stellar Lumens is Deloitte. Deloitte's a big financial advisor. So, yeah, I mean, IBM's earnings weren't as great as I'd like them to be. They still have some, you know, a lot of work to do. It's a huge dinosaur company. They're trying to get this ship turned around in. But, you know, it was you know, three quarters in a row of positive earnings. You can't deny that. So,
well, there was a rally in Bitcoin this week and the alternative currencies too, the altcoins. I'm going to flip our rundown just a little bit for anybody that might be listening out there. By the way, Cara texted me just now, even in her near deathbed, she will be here next week. I'm just talking about how she feels. Says she will test the phone line for us. So if there isn't anybody else willing to call 941-745-1490 and hear the voice on the air, Cara, you are invited to do that. In the meantime,
I tell you, I've got news for you.
The latest attempt to create a cryptocurrency pegged to the U.S. dollar, or, quote, stablecoin, combines 21st century technology with an invention from the Great Depression. Announced Tuesday, a startup called Stronghold is launching USD Anchor, which will run on the rails of the Stellar blockchain and use its consensus mechanism to verify transactions. The token will be backed one-on-one with the U.S. dollars held at a Nevada-chartered trust company called Prime Trust, which in turn will deposit the cash in banks insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The New York City-based Signature Bank was originally expected to be providing the FDIC backing, but it appears to have backed out of the partnership at the 11th hour, according to IBM. Well, good for Prime Trust. IBM is partnering on the initiative with Stronghold, which is a blockchain exchange. And you probably haven't heard of it before this.
No.
I've been on their site. They deal with, you know, credited investors.
Oh,
credited investors. Fat cats. Institutions. Anyway, IBM is partnering with the initiative Stronghold and said it will explore various use cases for the token with its financial institution clients. Quote, what we really want to do is enable all sorts of digital transaction networks to settle their transactions with digital fiat currency on the same blockchain network, Jesse Lund, IBM's head of blockchain, said. Stronghold acts as the anchor or on and off ramp to the Stellar network. The startup will issue the digital asset, which represents a claim on U.S. dollars deposited with Prime Trust and ultimately insured by FDIC. Now, as such, the project represents one of several efforts to tokenize fiat currency. We had the Goldman Sachs via Circle, whatever they're calling that, stable dollar or whatever.
Yeah.
Stablecoin is now available to institutional clients, and IBM claims to put it to use as quickly as possible.
You know what this sounds like, and I've seen it on your notes there. It sounds like what they did in between 1917 and 1930, right before the Great Depression, where they issued fiat currency that was backed by gold in the Treasury, and then they slowly weaned that off to the fiat currency that we have that was backed by bonds, which is pretty much nothing. I mean, you pretty much had something backed by nothing.
The federal government.
Oh, yeah, the full faith of the federal government. We know how good they are. And but it's similar to what – but if you were watching the Senate hearings, it was the agriculture hearings.
House Agriculture. Financial Services this week.
Yeah, one of the gentlemen there, he had to actually explain to one of the senators that gold is really not backed by anything. And in reality,
that was on the agricultural one.
Yes,
because later on, in the one for the House Financial Services Committee, one of the one of the representatives asserted that, and then one of the so-called experts said, yes, there's never been a commodity. They were talking currency, and then they also said there's never been a commodity that's worked as a store of value without the backing of government. I was like, gone.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
there you go.
Let me wrap this up.
And
right
those
here.
Are our senators? Are those our
representatives?
Representatives?
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of them. Right?
So I guess there's not an IQ test or, you know, like a written test you have to do to get in the Senate or, you know, run for the House. You know, you have to.
You just got to win the primary in your gerrymandered district, whichever side it is.
Well, you know, you have to take an, you know, an exam to go, you know, for school, for your GED and that. You think they'd have an exam for, you know, to be a senator.
You just have
something.
To pass the people exam.
You just have to pass the people exam. Yeah. Oh, great.
We get exactly the government we deserve.
Yeah, there you go.
The project bears a resemblance to Tether. That's where I thought you were going to go.
There we go.
Well,
yeah.
Then they were backed by gold and then bonds. So this will be backed by the FDIC, and then we'll back it with Tether.
Yeah.
No. That's not what we're going to do. Len from IBM said, you can't talk about this without talking about Tether, which I just proved.
There you go.
Besides the FDIC coverage, which is different, he says, they will actually be audited. Scott Purcell, the CEO and Chief Trust Officer of Prime Trust, said it's fully audited distinction.
Is it audited by the Fox? I mean, is this like the Fox auditing the hen house or watching the hen house?
Well, the FDIC audit.
Yeah.
And I mean, they do close banks down.
Yeah.
Especially a few years ago. Anyway, it also has relationships with institutions of the U.S. Bank and Pacific Mercantile Bank. Now, FDIC accounts are only insured to $250,000.
That's correct.
So you say, oh, huh? Yeah, so they'll head around the edges. No.
Well, they did that in the financial in 2008 when the banks closed up. They actually went beyond the $250,000
right.
and covered
well,
business money.
Well, they don't have to do it this way because they're actually going to break up the deposits into separate bank accounts up to $250,000.
There you go.
So, I think IBM understands that some companies are a little bit shady in this field.
And
you might. I want to do it. So anyway, the stablecoin is going to be working with that. They're going to be working with the Stellar protocol.
Stablecoin. You know, you ever see you seen the movie? And stablecoin is kind of funny because you ever see the movie? What was it? Night or Day with Tom? With Tom? Not Hanks. The other Tom. Does all the action. Anyway,
cultural reference.
Anyways, you know, he said, if they mention to you, we are taking you to a secure location. They are not taking you to a secure location. That's code work for you're dead. And so I look at stablecoin, I think the same thing. They're trying to, you know, oh, yeah, stablecoin. Yeah, how stable is it?
The ultimate goal here is to create something that will be used in multiple currencies, fiat currencies, for foreign exchange.
We already have that Bitcoin.
A columnist at SeekingCryptos.com, Jillian Patrice, has she written on this yet, or this just
She just posted something, but she's had, and I don't want to extend my condolences to Gillian because she's had several family members die in the last year. It's been kind of an odd chain of events,
and we
all feel sorry for her. So if you want to say your prayers for Gillian, that she'd be greatly appreciated.
Was that a segue for the next story?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Not to make light of this. I'm sorry.
No. I mean,
but since we are going into a faith-based story at the next one, but it's also stellar, and then we'll go to a break and figure out where we want to go next, where our manifest destiny is. The Stellar.
No more art coins, please.
Stellar, the seventh largest cryptocurrency network, has become the first digital ledger technology protocol to obtain Sharia certification for payments and asset tokenization. Now, I would hazard a guess that a lot of people, first of all, I think probably people have heard about Sharia. I mean, they would know associate it with Islam or Muslims. But I don't think they realize how big a deal. They probably are into the stuff about, they're going to make us wear burqas or something, which really is
still
disservice to the Islamic world because it's much more than what your visual image is.
Now, Sharia, that's the more stringent of the Islam.
Well, I'm going to probably step on some toes here right now. But here in the United States, there are communities where the Jewish population is allowed to use their Jewish law or Hebrewic law, I guess. I apologize for my lack of the knowledge of the term. But in civil proceedings. So you can set up a contract And in that, you can say, and it's going to be subject to these conditions within their faith. I'm not saying it's as simple as that with Islam, because you can see around the world where it gets taken to pretty extremes. But when you see some of these stories about, oh, it's coming into America, well, what they've probably seen is a court case where the contract was written to, accept that. Anyway, I'm getting as far out of there as Manifest Destiny again. The Stellar Development Foundation announced on Tuesday, following a review of the properties and applications, the Sharia Review Bureau had certified Stellar as a Sharia-compliant vehicle, et cetera. According to the foundation, it is licensed by the Central Bank of Bahrain. Now, when you talk about banks, you talk about Bahrain, you're starting to get into something big.
Yeah.
Which operates an international Sharia consulting practice. Think about this. If you were not, say you were J.P. Morgan Stanley, and not only were you trying to maximize profit and be a very effective business, you had the power to say, oh, I think your business doesn't fit our faith requirements. And all of a sudden, you're shut out of a billion people.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
According to the foundation, and I don't see any mention of Ripple here. Maybe
going with the religious-based thing. When I saw that, with Sharia law, I was thinking immediately oil. You know, for whatever reasons, I was thinking, is it going to be like the dollars pegged to oil?
Oh.
Are they going to have a, token pegged to oil? I thought that's where this was going. Maybe I'm way out. And
I think you're actually beyond the article. I think you're. Let me get to the next paragraph and say who this is going to affect.
Now you can tell I didn't read the, now you can tell I didn't read the.
That's okay. One of us has. In partnership with the SRP, the certification will help grow the Stellar ecosystem in areas of the Gulf Collaboration Council. Now, that would include Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and parts of Southeast Asia, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim populous country on the planet. So, and also, Indonesia and Southeast Asia has plenty of oil, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there's been, ever since we've been doing this show for a little over a year now, as a Bitcoin blockchain show, there's been rumors that Stellar was going to be, was working with the United Arab Emirates. Well, what roadblock just dropped this week on that. United Arab Emirates, banking center, along with Bahrain, of all the oil countries, now they can start the process of setting this up with Stellar Network. I don't know what that means to Stellar's price, but I do think it means a whole lot to the digitization and tokenization of those banks over there.
Well, Stellar's similar to Ethereum or NEO in the fact that you can have sidechains and you build upon that, so you can actually have a sidechain pegged to oil.
Well, another thing
is going with
the Stellar Network, it allows you to trade dollars for pounds, dollars for Bitcoin. You can it even has a mechanism in it where maybe there isn't somebody with British pounds that wants dollars, but they want Swiss francs. And it will do the triple trade there, or maybe you're going dollar Bitcoin.
It finds
Bitcoin
the best deal, too, right? Doesn't it? It finds the best price, too, doesn't
it?
Yeah. It's amazing.
And they're
actually, don't they meet international regulations for money transfers and stuff like that?
I think
Ripple and Stellar do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got.
So this is a big deal.
You got the Muslim world now you can operate in. You've got the Western capitalist world. They don't care what your religion is. You got money, that's their religion.
Yeah.
And
the dollar-based religion.
Yeah. And so you have China. China has their version of these technologies.
Sure.
Well,
and I own a couple.
Of their Chinese?
Yeah, the NEO.
Huh?
The NEO, and because China in 2004 passed their digital signature thing, and NEO is the only, I believe it's the only coin that has government approval to authorize a digital signature that China says that's accredited. So that's one of the big reasons.
Since you lay all your stuff out there on SeekingCryptos.com, do you own Chinese stocks?
Absolutely not one. The only one I would own right here would be Alibaba.
Okay. So I own Amazon and Alibaba, so I've got the world cover. I'm sitting on top of
it. I like Alibaba. Alibaba is the reason why Walmart got Flipkart, because Alibaba and Google were big investors. I think Google, too. But
if I remember all your writings, that's how we know
Flipkart.
That.
Yeah.
Did you write that on SeekingCryptos.com or TradingView.com?
Neither one. It was just, you know, I own a lot of Walmart, so I'm a big Walmart guy.
So, yeah, you are.
And Walmart's actually, you know, been with IBM and, you know. I don't know if I like Amazon here, though.
Yeah, I'm not long on this Chinese stock, but I actually...
ZTE.
I want to play both. I constantly do perpetual straddles and options
on the
Dow.
You're like the straddle master.
I have that same point of view in my limited stock portfolio. So I've got Google, and now I want to own Baidu. There's nothing in the chart on Baidu in my simple analysis that says I got to have it today. Yeah. And I sort of like, I better see how the whole trade thing. But they're the Chinese Google.
Yeah.
And they have lots of blockchain technology, too. Yeah. All right, let's get to a break because we're going to have to wrap it up the next segment and get to our guest in just a moment, John Sacco of Sacco Consulting. We're here in the studio with Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1. The rest of the crew is at different states of being right now.
And we are getting text messages from them.
Yes.
It has been confirmed. I am a chip magnet.
Out there. You know, she said she wouldn't test our phone lines at 941-745-1490.
If you're a business owner, you need to start listing right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to BiteFederal.com and fill out a simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BITE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to BiteFederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. in the studio with Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, multi-thousand followed columnist for TradingView.com. And I do want to apologize to Kara or anyone else that tried to call. She texted me that she tried to call twice and didn't get an answer. And I would have to look at the out of the left side of my face to see the light blinking, which I didn't. I was too...
We need an engineer now. We're getting big time here.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since everything worked at the same time here. So, anyway, 941-745-1490. We'll speak to John Sacco in actually about 4 or 5 minutes. So we sort of, as we focused on Manifest Destiny and Sharia Law and Stellar Network, we missed a lot of the other key movers of what raised the price of Bitcoin this week. And maybe once we get our guest on, we'll have Andy give us a little bit more analysis of the price breakdown this week.
But there is some interesting price movement here.
Your attention span must last another 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If they've lasted through all the other stuff, they can probably go 5-10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Bob Pisani, courtesy of CNBC, broke down yesterday the week's big developments. He didn't talk about Sharia law in this minute-plus segment, but we will hear what Bob Pisani had to say. What moved the price this week?
It may not be roaring back to life exactly, but Bitcoin has been definitely picking its head up off the floor. Now, some reports are calling this a short squeeze, up 4 consecutive days from roughly $6,000 a couple weeks ago to about $7,400 today. Bitcoin searches on Google, we watched that, it's dropped dramatically in the past few months. Well, they're at their highest levels in the past month. But cryptos tend to move on two things. Number one, they tend to move on regulatory news. And number two, any indication that more users might be coming online. In this case, this week's news is mostly about more potential users or traders of crypto. So on Tuesday, we noted MasterCard had published a document outlining how they may try to speed up crypto transactions by linking accounts holding both fiat currencies and cryptocurrencies. MasterCard thinking about getting involved in crypto? Huh, that's big news, and Bitcoin was up 9% that day, its best performance in 3 months. On Friday, we reported Coinbase was considering adding 5 new coins to its platform, which would join Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and Litecoin on their platform. Now, these coins all jumped, and even Bitcoin was up 5% that day. Still, Bitcoin volume is only modestly higher, and then only in the last few days, and futures volumes really haven't changed too much, so don't get too excited yet. There's one other possible positive here, regulatory. On Tuesday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the Fed was not thinking of creating a cryptocurrency. Sounds like a negative? Well, listen, the purists seem to be happy to hear this. At least that's what they're saying to me. They don't want government intervention or oversight. If the Fed wants to step into it and start getting into crypto business, there is potential for much more regulation. In their minds, if you're right, this would be negative. So Powell, seeing no one could, that this could be viewed as a mild positive prices, I think an interesting idea if you accept the fact that more regulation would be negative for cryptos.
All right.
Yeah.
So let me do this right now. I'm going to let you comment on that. And you can roll into what you were talking about on the technical analysis. I'm going to go ahead and get the guest on the line so we don't have to play a commercial break so soon after the last one.
Okay. That's fine. Oh, so I'm left with the mic alone here. Okay. Well, you know, I watch CNBC just about every day. So when I see Bob Pisani on there and a couple other ones that are always trying to tag a news event to the price movement of Bitcoin, it blows my mind because most of the time they're wrong. I mean, we've been hearing about trade wars, everything else, and the stock market still continues to go up. So Bitcoin was clearly, you know, with all the ETFs and all the news coming out on that, I find it very difficult, and over the past few weeks, even before the run-up, I find it very difficult to believe that all of a sudden this news has driven the Bitcoin price up. Quite frankly, we've been writing about it in our articles that you've seen this long decline with low volatility, which is very evident that there's been larger institutions and larger buyers buying in. And I think we even mentioned it last week on the show, Henry, that, you know, 6,200, you're starting to see that place for a bounce, and it bounced. So when Bob Pisani goes on there and he's, you know, of course, that's entertainment, they try to peg a news event or they try to peg something to the price when actually nothing actually happened this week. I mean, what actually happened? Anything that happened, I mean, I didn't think the Senate hearings were very positive, were they?
Well, the House hearings, no, but I think there was. I think because everybody is, well, let's back it up just a step. Everybody is anticipating an approval from the SEC on the
ETF on CBOE?
Yeah, on CBOE.
Well, but that's old news.
But it hasn't been approved yet.
No, but I mean, why would they, what are they buying the rumors,
well,
selling the news? They would have done that before.
All of these things that have happened, which we sort of glossed over because I was too busy talking about Manifest Destiny and Sharia Law and et cetera. I'm not going to read these stories, but let me just note the headlines. So we had the The MasterCard that's going
to
be
that has
enabled.
Nothing to do with Bitcoin. That's a proprietary, you know, blockchain.
Yes,
that they do.
But it's not about what it really. It's not about the truth. It's the perception of the truth. And the perception was, if MasterCard's jumping in and making it easier to spend your cryptocurrency, that's another step to Wall Street adoption. The Bitcoin futures, that went up by almost 100%, the volume there. We have Coinbase announcing a, well, they didn't announce, a report that a $20 billion hedge fund, now the hedge fund didn't put in $20 billion, but they're $20 billion,
yeah.
And they're using Coinbase's Coinbase custody.
Yeah, we already knew that.
Commerce.
That's old news.
It's not old news until after the mainstream media makes a big headline
about
it. Oh,
okay, yeah. And that goes right back to my point. You should have already been in. Like when we said last week, now's the time to buy. And, of course, I didn't buy, but, you know, I'm already at my limit of buying. I got to keep some cash on the side for trading.
Well, Coinbase also announced, again, I'm going to get to our guest, and I thank him right in advance for being patient a second. Coinbase also, this is brand new, didn't have time to be on CNBC to become reality yet. Coinbase has opened a political action committee. They've already given $78,000. To Brian Ford, who is in a competitive race out in, pardon me?
Oh, I thought it was a lobbyist.
No, Brian Ford is the former Obama Administration Office of Science and Technology advisor that is a big crypto enthusiast that is running. It's a Democratic-based primary because even though, you know, it's just one of those areas of California that's going to go Democratic.
Yeah.
And his Democratic opponent is trying to make him out to be a money launderer and a friend of drug smugglers and making it a...
Because of blockchain or because he is? Like he's Mitch McConnell.
Well,
you know,
I don't know
Mitch
what
there.
He is personally,
okay.
But because he advocates cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, obviously...
That's bull crap.
You know, that's the point of view. And also the greater sin, he is invested in cryptocurrency.
You know, if you're in Alabama, that might play out, but California, I don't know.
All right, let me go right to our guest. There's some other things that we'll try and figure out, all the motions and movements of Bitcoin this week. But John Sacco is a returning guest, and he always has insightful news for us. He is the CEO or the head guy of Sacco Consulting Services, Blockchain and Cybersecurity Solutions. The website is sacco.io. Sacco is SACCO.io. He's a political science and econ major from FSU that somehow found his way into the field of IT and cybersecurity. We're going to just not make him wait anymore, and we're going to say hello to John Sacco. John, thanks for being patient. Thanks for joining us again.
Hello, Henry. It's good to talk with you today, and hello, Andy, as well, in the studio. It's been a heck of a week, so I'm excited to be with you guys today.
So what are your thoughts about the week?
Well, wait a minute. We got to start with the good stuff here.
Okay. You start with the good stuff.
What's your view on Florida State's chance of getting to the national championship this year?
You know, you brought up the football stuff last time, and, you know, I'm the IT nerd. I would defer. I would not want to make a statement on Florida State football, very little about it.
We digress, but football season's coming up. They need to have a football cryptocurrency. That's what we need.
Well,
place
we do,
right,
and
on
I would short it if Florida State
All right. Keep that in mind, John, because we're going to go to the MLB story then, first of all, here, because I want to get to that. But since you brought up Florida State football, we can't bring it up in this studio here in Manatee County without saying that, of course, the new head coach in his first year at Florida State is the former Manatee High player Willie Taggart, and he went on to become University of South Florida coach. Well, actually, Western Kentucky, then University of South Florida, a year over at
Oregon. So he's going backwards.
Oregon. Well, I don't think he thinks so. I don't think the zeros on the check think so.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
And now he's up at Florida State. So he is
a
homegrown Manatean, and we wish him well.
Some extra fans down in South Florida. And I would also be remiss if I didn't give a shout-out to my Uncle Tony, who lives in Tampa, is tuning in right now as well. So
I
wanted to say hello to him.
Hey, Uncle Tony. Kabosh.
All right. So So this was a story we almost got to last week, but I held it over because I figured it would be timely. And then I know it was something that John was interested in, John of SACO Consulting, SACO.io. Major League Baseball is turning to blockchain to expand its fan base. Announced last Friday, not yesterday, that it partnered with Lucidsite, a startup based in Los Angeles, to launch a DAPP, D-A-P-P game, on Ethereum late this summer to allow baseball fans to interact with their favorite moments in the game. So you may remember CryptoKitties, which are collectibles. This had an influence on their thought process. We were already talking to Lucidsite around the time CryptoKitties first came out, and then CryptoKitties sort of validated a little bit more. You know, it's funny how time moves outside the crypto world, because I'm thinking CryptoKitties.
Get out of here.
Now we're hearing about it, but actually, you know, it was like since last baseball season. In order to play the game, users must purchase Ether and transfer it to MetaMask, one of the most popular browser wallets. Then they can trade digital avatars tied to specific moments in recent games while possibly earning rewards and stickers. And Andy and I talked about this off the show. I'll get John's opinion on it. But so imagine you're at your favorite team, and somebody hits the winning home run, and bam, your phone has a blockchain original collectible, whatever that's going to be, of that moment. And do you want to get it? Because you're a collector,
yeah,
and maybe not of this kind of stuff, but you know that the emotion of somebody when
you'll
they
probably
wanna,
get people on it.
Yeah, it's like it would be like it's not quite the same thing. Is saying, do you want the home run ball that you can hold in your hand? How about the blockchain
moment
certified digital ball?
Yeah. Yes.
John,
this is a brilliant move by Major League Baseball, because not only does it help them stay relevant in the age of millennials and the digital age where cell phones are now becoming the main focus of their attention, MLB is not only staying relevant, but this is a fairly advanced implementation of blockchain. This isn't just accepting crypto for payments. They're bringing something unique and collectible to the table. And, you know, I was a diehard baseball card collector in the early 90s, and I actually saw the market collapse under really runaway inflation by Don Russ and Fleer.
Yeah, I remember that.
As they just kept churning out these cards that people would try to get, the select cards, if you will.
Yeah.
Having it on the blockchain really solves a lot of problems, because you could actually have something that is provably scarce and unique.
So, John, how do you
take this off?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, John. I didn't mean
to interrupt. If this takes off, this could be huge among the millennials that are also baseball fans.
So now let me ask you, John. You know, normally, you know, I'm going back to the 70s and 80s when I used to go to the baseball games and that. When you caught the ball, Mom pulled out her 35mm. You know, her 35, you know, Kodak, the, you know, the instant ones, or Polaroid even, and she took a picture of that moment, and you held the ball up. So, how do you capture that moment? Do you hold your iPhone up, with showing the digital thing and smile next to it? I mean, is that what?
There's some details that I don't know if they've worked out. I would imagine that there's going to be a central body that is marking these as you know, tokens in the blockchain and commemorating them, and then allowing those out for trade. So it could be that they're just randomly giving it away to a fan that happens to be in attendance. That would be one way that they could do it, to sort of get people to come to the games to hopefully get these tokens that they can trade on the open market. But I guess we'll see, since this is still a pilot.
Well, you know, it's also good for saying you were there. I was there. You weren't there. Yeah, I was there. And then you can show me a little blockchain thing there. So.
That's right. So digital collectibles is a whole new realm, and you know, it's just a little tiny slice of what the blockchain industry is doing right now. And so there's just so many, you know, this week there was so much news. I would characterize this week as being the beginning of a tsunami of institutional money that is now entering. Not only is it entering crypto, but you've got these institutional, you know, hedge fund guys, and they're all kind of lining up on the starting line. They're saying, you know, when do we go? Because as you probably know, you know, banking and finance and investing, it's a lot of monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
And so as this starts to gain traction with BlackRock and Goldman Sachs adopting a, you know, friendly CEO to crypto, we're only beginning. looks like.
Yeah, I got to interrupt this for a second because of your inspiration, Andy, and John bringing this story and saying he wanted to talk about it. You talk about capturing the moment. Now that we have working phone lines, and I need to recondition myself to see it when it rings, but I foresee this, that we are going to begin development on the Henry Rain Show blockchain digital collectible. And when you call in, you can buy a digitized collectible specifically of your phone call. How would that go?
I think it'd go good, really good if you had my swimsuit issue in there.
That would be collectible. That could be optional.
Probably only one sold.
but you would have to provide proof of age.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Well, blockchain solves that issue.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. We're talking with John Sacco, Sacco Consulting, sacco.io, S-A-C-C-O. And I want to hold just till the station ID at the top of the hour, John, before we go back into some of the more financial importance stories, because you also pointed this out to me this morning. John's a great guest because he actually sends you material.
Yeah, even if he's a seminal fan.
About the, much like some of our crypto crew, you sent me a tweet with a link, looking forward to being the first United Kingdom venue to try, this is from Twitter, so it says, at PAC Coin, PAC Coin Official, as viable payment for our upcoming August event. And then it's partnering with Hilton, Hilton Bournemouth, and you'll be able to spend these at the Hilton. What about this caught your attention, John?
You know, this is one of those news headlines that popped up on the cryptocurrency Reddit and kind of got viral this morning. It really, you know, upon further analysis, this is an altcoin community. In this case, the PAC coin community has worked with a business, in this case, a specific branch of a Hilton hotel in the UK to accept only their altcoin in terms of crypto payments. You know, they don't accept Bitcoin, they don't accept Ether, but they do accept PAC coin, and it reminds me of the Verge partnership that they had with a certain adult website that was the number one adult website in the world, and I would caution people actually to see this headline as to say, you know, upon first glance they think, well, this is Hilton accepting PacCoin, it's huge, you know, I should go buy some PacCoin, but really it's one guy in that community that convinced his friend who works at the Hilton to accept at that Hilton to accept PacCoin.
When they are franchises.
Yeah, correct. So they have some independence in terms of, you know, what they can accept. So it's not worldwide Hilton, it's one Hilton. And so as, you know, more and more investors come into the fold, it's very easy to almost get duped by some of these headlines to say, you know, is this actually newsworthy that I would buy an altcoin based on this news? Or is it a short-lived adoption type of a news story that, you know, like the Verge news fizzled out very shortly and didn't really amount to anything, because as we know, these networks, they need tremendous amount of network effects to really take off. So it's going to take more than one company adopting a coin for it to really to mean anything. So upon first glance, it seemed like a big story, Henry, and then as you kind of get into the details, there's really not as much substance as there could have been. That's one of the hard things about this crypto market is understanding what is important, what is going to be lasting, you know, in terms of where this market is going, as opposed to, is this a flavor of the month type of a feature?
Well, it's similar to like Disney dollars. You know, you go to Disney and you get the Disney dollars. Well, it's only good at Disney. So if you go to Disney and you walk away from the park with a bunch of Disney dollars, are they still worth $10?
Right. Huh. Yeah.
Well, they are a store of value.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So you come back into the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, U.S. dollars, you can't spend those in Botswana.
Probably.
Actually, you can in Botswana.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, you can't.
But what's the store of value there? What's the store of value for a coin like that?
And tell me if I'm wrong with this guess, is that since PAC cryptocurrency is promoting itself here, they probably worked a side deal on the Hilton, like, you accept these and we'll keep track of it, and then we will reimburse you in fiat.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think that might be the way it works?
Yeah, yeah. That's or it's a paid promotion. And, you know, in the case of the Verge getting accepted to that site, I believe it was a $5 million promotion Ooh. That the Verge community raised for that. So there's definitely a behind-the-scenes advertising element to a lot of these. You know, now, on the other hand, when you look at the news that came out this morning about Samsung, that appears to me to be more of a longer-term strategy that Samsung is adopting and introducing crypto payments across multiple countries in the Baltic region, where we're seeing a lot of adoption in that particular area, you know, Czech Republic or Poland or, you know, Romania. And so to me, that's a very exciting development, just given how large Samsung is and how little we've heard of them in the cryptocurrency okay. space.
John, I just have to quickly say you're listening to WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay.
Home of the Henry Rain Show.
Well, I didn't have to say that, but I'm glad you did. tying in with what I hope with where you were going with that, John, is another bigger story that you put forward to us, and that involves Samsung. And Samsung has announced that it will start accepting crypto payments. Now, this is limited. It will be possible in three Baltic countries and is a partnership with the platform Copay. Now, the crypto payments are expected to come in several stages, with the first one including the implementation of the payment system in only the three countries. The announcement was just yesterday, so John was right on top of this and wanted me to know about it. At first, there's only going to be a few stores that will accept it, one in Riga in Latvia, in Estonia in Tallinn, and in Lithuania in Kaunas and Vilnius. Beautiful this time of the year, I'm sure. It indicates they'll be accepted, and they're going to accept eventually, if they haven't included in the first round, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ripple, Ethereum, Steam, which all those people that are putting Steam content out there will want to travel.
Well, that's an interesting concept, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, you can trade it in exchange, but you could actually travel all the way over to Estonia and spend your Steam on Samsung phones and Dash. This has been planned for a while, and they expect to roll it out. Now, also, I'm sure Andy could wax on this, that Samsung is a big blockchain company, too, so they have an interest in expanding the marketplace. So what were your thoughts when you got this article and said, this is something important for people to know about? John.
Well, this is a another adoption piece of news about the adoption of cryptocurrency, where I think the focus of late has been more on the institutional money and some of the alternative use cases for blockchains, such as supply chain management, stable coins, and other use cases. Whereas I'm always excited to see larger companies implementing just Bitcoin payments or crypto payments, you know, accepting the larger ones like Ethereum, Litecoin. Because really, you know, if we go back to first principles about why are blockchains important? Why was Bitcoin meaningful when it was invented in 2009? And it's because it solved the problem of having a digital cash, essentially, or a digital money. And so I'm always excited to see news about adoption use cases, whether it's in Japan, South Korea, or Eastern Europe, because people are actually using crypto, and that's not often talked about when we're focusing on the hedge funds and the alternative use cases.
We're speaking with John Sacco, Sacco Consulting, Sacco.io. We're going to go to a break. On the other side, we'll have more with John and Andy. We also have a clip of Steve Bannon. We won't be diving into Manifest Destiny, at least that's my plan for this moment. But we will dive into Steve Bannon and cryptocurrency and what that may mean in the larger point of view. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Raine Show here at WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. in the studio with a.k.a. Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, a.k.a. co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, a.k.a. TradingView.com columnist. And on the phone line with us is John Sacco, Sacco Consulting. Sacco.io is the website where you find out more. S-A-C-C-O is how you spell Sacco, and it's Sacco.io. And, John, while we were on break, someone texted me from
the Crypto Kitties.
Yeah, I guess you'd call them that. From the inner circle, if you will, saying we need to have you as a regular guest. Well, I will divulge that we have discussed having you as a regular guest, so... Well, if you're still in the mood, we'll definitely try and get you on here at least once a month or maybe more frequently if that works with your schedule.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to hear that, and it's always good to be able to give advice that's meaningful to your listeners. So, you know, that's what I'm here for. As I said, I'm not here to shill an ICO. I'm not here to sell any particular crypto or advocate for anything other than smart management of your investments and also manage your private keys, because if you don't have your keys, you don't have those coins.
And before we take up the conversation again, we remind you to please like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, just Google Henry Raine Show. You'll find all the podcast platforms. Podomatic.com has the biggest archive. By the way, this is a little inside baseball, but unlike us to be obscure. I changed our category on Podomatic from politics, liberal, progressive to technology, to out of politics into technology. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt, but I decided, you know, I did that before the beginning of this show. You know, I thought we were going a different direction, and we ought to get out of that other zone. But anyway, I digress.
We seldom do on this show.
But actually, let me take it right back to politics and do exactly what I said I wasn't going to do. But on a more specific side, I said we would talk about Steve Bannon. We've already talked about Steve Bannon's manifest destiny. But let's hear about him and cryptocurrencies right now.
I think these cryptocurrencies have a huge aspect in the future. Obviously, the day there's problems about the markets, the problems about what it's used
for. But what do you own? We know you like. I mean, you're.
I like Bitcoin.
You own it.
I've got that, and I'm working on a number of. I think 90% of the ICOs have been a disaster. We're working on some tokens now, utility tokens potentially.
Well, right. I got to replay that little part.
90%.
Well, I'm not into those ICOs, but let me tell you about my ICO here. Let me replay that.
Got that, and I'm working on a number of, I think 90% of the ICOs have been a disaster. I'm working on, we're working on some tokens now, utility tokens, potentially, for the populist movement on a worldwide basis that we're thinking about. They've got to be, they have to be quality. The problem is there's been too much, too many investors, I think, have been blown out by things that were not thought through. But they're the future.
Okay. By the way, John, did you happen to hear Steve Bannon's interview on CNBC?
Yeah. I didn't hear the whole interview, but I'd say I would imagine his ICO will probably be the 10% that will survive, of course. But, you know, it's always interesting with a guy like Steve Bannon. He's a controversial figure. He's an ally to cryptocurrency. So, you know, I accept all allies to decentralization, whether they're on the right or the left. I think it's a good thing.
Well, I don't think anything he said bodes badly for blockchain or cryptocurrency acceptance. And the fact that he had talked about control of the industrial supply chain, I'm pretty sure he's aware of the implications of blockchain. But one thing that stuck out to me, he says he's invested in Bitcoin, good for him, and he's working on utility tokens for the populist movement. Now, we talked about the baseball collectibles and stuff like that. Well, way, way back, I grew up in the South during the days of desegregation in the 60s, and there was a lot of memorabilia that was targeted because there used to be a thing called mail that they direct mail that they would send you offers in, and we'd get some that my dad would like. Oh, this is too wild for me, too far out for me.
Isn't that Sabine yet?
No, that's a whole different kind of far out. Well, let me just come clean on this, because traveling the South with him. Oh gosh, now I got the backstory here just a little bit. This will be quick. Okay, so he sold industrial equipment to paper mills in the South. Almost all those paper mills were near forests and in small southern towns, but I would travel with him in the summer through the 60s and as our vacation, and he would have to take out every plant manager or general manager of these plants. So, and in those small towns, that was the elite. And so, you know, every dinner that I would hear politics, and invariably they would either be George Wallace supporters, for people that remember back then. He took five states in the South. He was the governor of Alabama. You can sort of guess where his politics were centered. They were populist, though, but I won't digress into that. I'm trying to stay on a straight line here. But, you know, once you got, if you contributed to the campaign, they would sell their mailing list. And then you'd get the really weird stuff coming in. So, and I'm just thinking the same thing. What if Steve Bannon launches a coin with his partners that you buy the populist memorabilia, and it can't be a Trump campaign thing. That would probably violate campaign laws. But you could, and if you buy this, but first you've got to buy our coin.
The deplorables coin.
Yeah, the deplorable coin.
Now, that would
then,
be collectible.
Then you can buy the collectible populist memorabilia, and your deplorable money will go to push that cause forward, the populist movement forward. Now, you can all have the profit in the transaction, but what about the who holds the bulk of the deplorable coins? Maybe I'm too suspicious. Think that would work,
guess,
John?
I'm going to guess Steve Bannon owns the majority of those coins. However, it's an interesting idea, and what's really interesting about it is, you know, the administration that we currently have, you know, in the White House, they are, at least Trump has exhibited an openness to alternative means of funding and making payments, and so he's very well aware of the challenges of the existing banking system, as you know, with his relationship with banks over the years. So, you know, is this part of a larger plan to monetize the Trump movement and for, let's say, you know, a hypothetical Steve Bannon creates the Trump coin or the deplorable coin, and the supply is, you know, distributed over time, but a large majority are held by the founders. friends of Trump, and all of a sudden a tweet comes out by Deplorable Coin from the President of the United States, or something favorable to Deplorable Coin. So what does that mean for, as the millions and billions of dollars enter into the market cap of that particular coin? You know, I see a scenario where this is, I don't know where this is going, but it's going to get into some weird places.
Well, it almost sounds like what the unions do. You know, the unions, they until recently, even if you weren't a union, they forced you to pay union dues, and then they used the union dues to pay politicians to keep those laws
in
place.
Actually, I think there was a court decision where that money was not supposed to be used for allegedly.
Yeah, but
Come on. You're going to trust the guy from Goldman Sachs with a deplorable coin,
yeah, right.
You're not going to trust the union.
No, I'm just saying it's a parallel. I mean, I'm not saying I trust either one, but, you know, I mean, I think that's...
The other wrinkle to this, that because we're sort of talking about transactional coins.
Yeah.
He says a utility token, so I'm trying to figure out what the utility aspect would be.
Well, I mean, did he really...
Being able to buy a red hat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what did he mean by the populist movement? I mean, I don't know if it has anything to do with Trump. I think we're making a big jump there.
Well, I'm not necessarily going there either. I can step back from that.
Yeah, I mean...
The populist movement... way back when Democrats and were on the ropes, I don't know, I guess in the 80s and early 90s, they wanted to get away from the liberal tag, so they revived progressive, which comes out of the progressive movement at the turn of the century. So I can see where people, you know, you get this traditional conservatives on the media saying, well, I'm a conservative, but I'm not this. So I think it's smart marketing, actually. I'll give them credit for that, to co-opt the populist movement. Actually, the populism actually was closer to the progressive era, and the populists came out of there. They're like, oh, we are in some history 101.
I would say not only has he co-opted the populist movement, but now he's monetizing, potentially.
That's capitalism. I'm all for that.
Huh.
Well, yeah. Freedom,
redefining populism, because really... if you ask, I'm pigeonholing people, but if you were to ask a Trump supporter, do you have a problem with the label populist? I don't think they would have it.
I don't have a problem with it.
They wouldn't want to be called a progressive, and they might not even want to be called a conservative anymore. Like, they probably, that's a little iffy.
Yeah, you know,
but they could put a red populist hat on there, and MAGA on the back, and
I don't know if I'm wearing one of those hats, but
and then the deplorable coin symbol right where the Bitcoin would be. We're in good shape.
Hey, whenever you tag a group of people, and I'm not going political here, but I'm just saying, whenever you tag a group of people with a name and you tag them with that deplorables, I mean, that was pretty much just that had to be the biggest foolish move in politics ever. Because even if you were slightly a Trump supporter, you know, and you were tagged a deplorable just because you thought it. I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely a bad move politically.
Yeah.
It can
And it goes against everything
well,
that, you,
you, you
know,
can
the
tag another
say.
Group with it.
Yeah, but, you know, oh, don't tag us. You know, we should be, you know, considered all, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you're a deplorable. I mean, it was just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
not going
move.
Political here, but, you know, that just the hypocrisy in politics in general. On both sides.
So speaking of Tallahassee, John.
Well, thank you, John, for taking us on that tangent there.
Speaking about hypocrisy, how's things in Tallahassee?
Things are good. I'm actually in the Pittsburgh area right now on holiday. However, it's certainly muggy and warm down there in Tallahassee. I haven't been paying attention too much to local politics, although I will say that I've been talking to your former guest, Samuel Arms, who is working in the lobbying front. So I'm interested in working with him and maybe helping to push on some pro-cryptocurrency legislation to see that somehow manifest in Tallahassee.
What's the level of awareness with Tallahassee politicians about cryptocurrency and or blockchain? Also, it came up as a topic in the chief financial officer statewide race recently.
Uh-huh.
What are your thoughts?
There is a high level of awareness, in part due to in 2014 through 2016, I did give a number of presentations to various state officials while I was with the state of Florida in an official capacity, which I no longer am. The focus, however, you know, the lens through which that the Florida lawmakers see Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and blockchain is unfortunately through a criminal element because of the fact that South Florida is rife with identity theft and, in particular, the types of crime that's associated with the darknet marketplaces around stolen identity information and some of the drug trafficking. So it's everything that Florida does with regard to, you know, blockchain has to be measured by the potential law enforcement attitude. And as you guys know, then, you know, Florida is a fairly conservative state and would not do anything that I think law enforcement would push back against. So that's an important consideration for anything in Florida with regard to the legislation around cryptocurrency.
So in the chief financial officer race, we have Jeremy Ring on one side and the current CFO, Jimmy Patronis, on the other, the current CFO being Republican, the challenger Democrat. And Patronis said that he wanted to create, an office or an official that would oversee cryptocurrency. I don't know if he included blockchain in that. Within his office to bring it under the purview of the chief financial officer office. Jeremy Ring said that he thought,
He thought it's a devil?
No, he said he thought we should have, it should be regulated at the federal level, that it was not a state issue.
Holy wow, that's kind of a...
And, well, let me finish his point of view. And if it was to be regulated at the federal level, the office should be in the Attorney General's office.
Wow.
And then he was tagged as being soft on cryptocurrency and that he had invested in cryptocurrency, that great sin.
Mm.
So there's some weakness in his campaign that we don't have time to go. Maybe John sees something different. But I find it weak when you go to a website, because I want to contact both of them.
Yeah.
And there's no email listed on your website. that might be a strategic problem with your campaign website.
Yeah.
There is volunteer, and you can submit your, but you can't send a message. So anyway, your thoughts
maybe
on the CFO race and that particular aspect of it?
Yeah, I think I don't really have an opinion on the particular candidates in this race. However, I do believe that having a office of cryptocurrency or an officer that is responsible for this in the CFO's office does make sense. That, you know, CFO's office is charged with regulating all banks in Florida, all financial institutions. They're also charged with investigating public benefits fraud and other types of fraud, in which there is now increasingly more overlap with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency with regard to fraud. And so I think that office is well suited to handle it. It's a good development. What I would not like to see, though, is...
I'm sorry, which office is well-suited for it?
The CFO's office.
Okay.
I don't believe that the Attorney General's office would be well-suited for it. So CFO should have it. Now, what I would caution against is coming out with a anti-ICO type of a rulemaking out of this, where all ICO activity in the state of Florida has to not only get vetted through the SEC, but also through the state CFO's office. My goal or my desire, if I was advising Mr. Patronis or Secretary Patronis, to essentially have a position there and take a cautious and slow approach to implementing any regulations with regard to ICOs or cryptocurrency across the entire state of Florida.
You know, I think at the state level is where it needs, you know, we keep pushing everything to the federal level. We know how the federal government does with stuff. And I think being at the state level is where it should be. And I think many states have taken that move in Colorado, Illinois, even West Virginia, of all the places. You know, I mean, they're starting to regulate cryptocurrencies on their own. And I think that's, you know, I like the idea there. I mean, why push it to the federal and the Attorney General? I mean,
now, what we don't want to happen, though, is, you know, to me, the worst-case scenario would be that what happened in New York when their CFO got involved with Bitcoin is that you know, you're going to, you know, for Floridians, if they want to go invest in a project, whether it's a crowdfunding effort or a token sale, for all of a sudden now there's a disclaimer that says New York residents and Florida residents are barred from participating. And so that's the scenario where this easily could be heading if we take a hardened approach to cryptocurrency.
I think it'd be good for, you know, the state that is the most open to cryptocurrency, you know, as far as capitalism goes, you know, that's going to, you know, is going to be the most crypto-friendly.
Well, let me just say, in the next very short few weeks, I think you'll be hearing some announcements out of this show that's going to make you feel good about that point you just put out.
All right.
I'm not allowed to disclose yet, but you just got to keep listening or make sure you go to the podcast. John, we're up against the clock. We've been speaking with John Sacco of Sacco Consulting, consulting service up in Tallahassee on blockchain and cryptocurrency. The website you can find out more is sacco.io, S-A-C-C-O.io. Anything you want to leave the audience with for the time being until we talk to you again, John?
Nope, just that, you know, happy to be here again. And if any of your listeners are interested in, you know, consulting with me or, you know, free consultation to talk about how they want to manage crypto assets or any aspects of, you know, cybersecurity with regard to this, feel free to reach out. I always love to get any feedback or comments. So,
well, John,
thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Let me provide you a little consulting here from my expert shilling. We should have been shilling your free consultation from the beginning of this interview. When you come back, that's how we're going to run it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks.
Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Free consultation,
oh,
man.
Hey, I'm like, wow. I was trying to write down his number.
Well, it's sacco.io.
Oh, there we go.
Actually, it's in your rundown.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And Kara sent me a brief overview and then told me what to say today. Typical woman.
I could hear her voice coming right out of you.
Yeah. This is what you need to say today.
Yeah, so hopefully next week we will have a full house. Augie has been back in Illinois.
I feel for the people
in
Illinois
there.
You know? you know, depending on where he is in Illinois, he probably feels at home.
He's not in Chicago.
No, well, then he doesn't feel at home.
Frog legs and beer. Well, he's at home, but how he feels about it, we'll have to wait till next week to find out.
Frog legs and beer. You know, love the people in Illinois.
Kara, we hope, is feeling better. Sabine, we hope she...
something about aliens or something.
Whatever
she
it is
must
she's
be
working
in,
on right now.
Yeah.
And we'll, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week.
Absolutely.
With another Henry Rain show. I had this set up. Now it's ready to go. Well, thank you so much. We'll be back.
Merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever heard.